Good to be back, dear ones, brothers, sisters, men, women, young ladies, boys, girls, angels. They're here. Praise the Lord. One verse, Romans 12, verse 11. Look at it with me. Let the reality of what it says sink in. This is the word of the Lord. Romans 12:11. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. I think Authorized Version says serving the Lord. So let me pry a little bit right now straight into our hearts. Does that describe you? Not foolish zeal that creates embarrassment or a mess in situations, but true spirit-given zeal that drives your Christian life. I want to speak this morning on the need of cultivating zeal. So let's pause and pray, and then we'll hear the Lord's message. Our gracious God and Father, we come again to this moment, really the most important moment of any week for a Christian in a way, to assemble with the saints, to worship you in song, to engage our hearts, and to draw near to you. And Lord, to come to the moment where beyond the words of a man, we are hearing the voice of Christ through the Word, by the Spirit. Father, we know that to the degree that any man called of you accurately declares the Word of God, to that degree, it is not him who is speaking, but Christ speaking to the sheep. So speak, Lord, now. Have us afresh in your grip. Come, Holy Spirit, upon us all. Give us eyes to see this morning. Give us hearts to receive. Give us focus. We commit this time to you. And we look, Lord, unto you for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Zeal. How do you define it? Defining words sometimes can be a challenge, right? How would you define zeal? You might see it, Stephen, an athlete. One's got it, another doesn't. But the other one might be more athletic ability. How do you define zeal? You know, words have meaning, and they're important, aren't they? Last year, I was sending a text to a Christian friend, and we were closing out, and I told my phone to say, "You're a great brother." You know, it's good to check what you send first, because it said, "You're a great bother." One letter changes the whole meaning, right? How do you define zeal? And do you see it as important? Do you see it that you need it to add to your theology, to add to your knowledge, virtue, and faith, and all the things that comprise Christian maturity? How often do you think of zeal? I need to be more zealous. This week, I confessed to the Lord more than once, Lord, I need a new dose. So the nature and need of spiritual zeal, being a zealous Christian, fervent in spirit. We're called here by this text to be possessed by holy and true zeal. Because as Ian Murray said, a dull, half-hearted Christian is a poor representative of Christ and of Christianity. A dull, half-hearted Christian is a poor representation of Christ and of Christianity. Are you that? Dull and half-hearted? Then a good dose of fresh zeal is on the menu. It's needed. When we think about sanctification, conformity to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, we often think in terms of growth in grace, becoming more Christ-like, more holiness, give me, love, prayerfulness, faithfulness. But in terms of growth, what about zeal? This too is to become more Christ-like. Because several places in Scripture, it describes Messiah as being clothed with zeal like a cloak. Or, the zeal of your house has consumed me. So what is biblical zeal that Paul has in mind here? It is not emotionalism. It is not what they used to call fanaticism, religious foolishness. It's not foolish zeal. It's something pure and holy that's controlled, that can even be chosen to pursue. Don't be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. True zeal is steady, produced by the Holy Spirit in the heart. In a simple word, it is this text, being fervent in spirit as we serve the Lord. Spiritual warmth and passion has to fill and saturate our Christian life if we are to have the fragrance of Christ. I don't care how much we know, if we're cold, calculated, unemotional when we ought to be emotional, and unpassionate when we ought to be passionate, we are not being salt and light the way we could be without true biblical zeal. Spiritual warmth and passion boiling steadily down in our heart. Have you ever had oatmeal boil over on the stove? I'm kind of have a PhD in that sometimes. I'll put it on, get on a call, and that's a mess to clean up. Kind of like overcooking eggs in a pan. Man, I hate to do that with dishes more than trying to clean a pan with burned eggs. Boiling over. Zeal is not out of control making a mess. It should be simmering all the time. The Holy Spirit producing in us desire, steady spiritual freshness, reality, staying in tune. Setting the Lord always before me, as David said. Zeal, steadily. Now, it's interesting when you read the New Testament that zeal is not mentioned a lot, and it's not mentioned as a gift of the Holy Spirit or a fruit of the Spirit. You don't find it in Galatians 5. It's not listed. Why? Zeal is not one grace or fruit, Ian Murray said. It's much more comprehensive. It is the whole tone and temperature of the Christian life. And zeal affects every grace and every gift in our service to Christ. Zeal is a comprehensive passion of heart that affects every fruit and every grace. Now, we wouldn't say of someone, you know, their love is really zealous. We don't talk like that, do we? Their service, you know, is zealous. We say, she's zealous, he's zealous. See how it comprehends everything. A zealous person, a zealous believer. A zealous Christian prays zealously, serves and lives for Christ zealously, is zealous for good works, as Paul says to Titus. They sing zealously. They have zeal for the kingdom. Zeal, in other words, is a true mark of Christianity, and it's a mark of a true Christian. Do you have zeal for Jesus Christ? You either do or you don't. And if you do, the degree can waver. Inconsistent, lukewarm. That's why this admonition of be fervent in spirit. Do not be slothful in zeal. And you know, whenever the Holy Spirit does a genuine work in a person, in a church or a nation, there will be spiritual zeal happen. Spiritual warmth increasing. Hearts filled with the love of God. Heavenly mindedness, kingdom pursuit will increase. More love for thee, O Christ. More kingdom to pursue. Zeal is a mark of heaven. The angels continually are filled with holy zeal. God's work is described in Scripture as being done by the zeal of the Lord of hosts. What a wonderful reality. Formal American nominal Christianity sees no need for zeal. In fact, it embarrasses the average. I started to say Baptist because I'm one of them. True spiritual zeal embarrasses most American professed church members. They see no need for it. They have no heart for it. And many of them are offended by true zeal. Our Lord's zeal offended the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders. But the common people were drawn to it, weren't they? If zeal is not present, you do not have biblical Christianity. So let's see ourselves in the mirror this morning of God's words. Zeal is an essential grace of the Christian faith. Think about it. These monumental examples leap out to us from Scripture. Isaiah's lips were touched by a live coal from off the altar, and zeal and surrender was the evidence. Elijah, Elisha, David, John Baptist was a burning and a shining light. You read Psalm 119, and if you need revival sometime, you're dry and cold and dull, get alone. Read and pray through Psalm 119. It's going to take you longer than 5 minutes. Pray it sincerely. You will see even a surface reading of Psalm 119, it drips with zeal throughout. Paul said to the Corinthians, you know, if I appear extreme, it's for your sake. For the love of Christ constrains me. And the great missionaries we love, the Jim Elliots, the David Brainerds, and others. One holy passion, zeal for Christ motivated them, moves them onward and upward. So let's think about this morning. Let's see what it is not. Let's see what it is. Let's see how this applies to us. Let's think first of all about the wrong kind of zeal, because some of us may have it. I've had it before, and I later thought to myself, Tomlinson, what an idiot you were. You shouldn't have spoken when you did. And so there is a wrong kind of zeal. There's a fleshly, carnal zeal. There's a prideful zeal. You know, there's even in Scripture a demonic zeal. The wrong kind of zeal is easy to have, but it's bad. James and John want to call fire down from heaven on sinners to destroy people. And the Lord rebukes them sternly. You don't know what spirit you're of. Peter cuts off Malchus's ear. Malchus comes as part of the arresting band. Peter cuts his ear off. He was aiming for the head, I imagine. And Jesus picks up the ear and puts it back on. Think of Malchus' mind right then. Well, you talk about between a rock and a hard place. He's still one of the arresting band. I wonder if he was ever converted. Peter's emotional zeal in that moment, in the moment of, though all forsake you, I won't, I'll even die for you. False zeal is emotionalism, fanaticism. It will always exhibit or promote self. It tries to be something in the moment it shouldn't be. It tries to appear to others as something that we're not. Natural excitement, emotionally driven actions that are unwise. False zeal is often imbalanced, and it becomes obsessed often with one's soapbox, one's emphasis about a certain thing. Eschatology, prophecy, reformed theology. You're going to fight this battle, and you're going to show everybody else that they're wrong and you're right. False zeal can happen in evangelism. I was talking to a brother yesterday over breakfast, and we were talking about this very thing, how in 2 Timothy 2, Paul talks about showing kindness to all, trying to win them. If peradventure God will grant them repentance to the acknowledging the truth. I said, you know, kindness in evangelism is a great thing. Don't speak down to people. Don't speak rudely to people. Don't be condescending. Don't just correct them. Because you will probably not win them with the wrong attitude. False zeal will drive people to be that way. And we can have it about politics, family life, social issues, abortion, apologetics, whatever. Carnal zeal preoccupies itself with one thing, imbalance and self. While true zeal is about the whole counsel of God, the gospel, and the glory of Jesus Christ, and the building up of the church. True zeal doesn't appear as carnal. Now, it can be courageous. It can be passionate. But when it is, it's owned by the Holy Spirit. And Christ is honored. It rings of truth and wholesomeness and God-honoredness. Jonathan Edwards says, the devil drives false zeal into fanaticism and heresy. You see a person get overzealous, wrongly zealous, carnally zealous in an area, if they're not pulled back, if they're not made to be more balanced and mature and grow, they will keep going into more and more error and could be in danger of apostasy. False zeal is quite easy when natural personality or emotions are confused with spiritual zeal. And it's such a subtle thing, because you can feel like you're being zealous for the Lord, like Jehu. Come see my zeal for the Lord. That's what false zeal does. Well, if false zeal is real and dangerous, then let's think about true zeal. True zeal is spirit-given in the heart that doesn't drive one to rash actions, immature actions. True zeal is according to biblical knowledge from true motives, warranted by scriptural examples, tempered with charity, and marked by true humility. That's zeal. J.C. Ryle gives us a couple of thoughts on this. Why it's good to be zealous. Number one, it's good for a Christian soul. Bodily exercise profits our body. Reading and meditation profits our mind. But zeal profits our spirit and our service. And he said it's also good for the church. A believer who has true zeal, the least member of the body, the most recent member of the body, the 15-year-old or the 75-year-old who has spiritual zeal and it drives him to be faithful and loyal and serve and have a wonderful attitude and do what needs to be done. That's contagious. True zeal, it's good for the church. It's contagious. It rubs off on others. It is a good leaven that can leaven the whole lump. Zeal is a grace God loves to honor because He gives it. To quote Ryle again, true zeal has eyes to see, ears to hear. It has a heart to feel. It has a mind to plan and act. It has a tongue to speak. It has hands to work, all for Christ. And it has courage to act, even unto persecution and death. Why do you think the martyrs Stephen, Paul, all but one of the apostles, why do you think their lives ended in martyrdom? Because their zeal led them to keep right on. True zeal is the heart simmering with love and spiritual desire and pursuit of Christ. This morning, is your heart, if you're a Christian, is your heart lukewarm or cold, half-hearted? Examine yourself. If so, you can go out of here today freshly filled with the love of God, freshly full of the Holy Spirit. If you're 12 or 20 or 60, go out of here today with your heart filled with fresh love and zeal for Jesus Christ. Don't leave unchanged. True zeal is Apollos in Acts chapter 18, being fervent in spirit, it says, speaking boldly in the synagogue. And sometimes we just got to choose it. The other day in New England, I was with Lee Dodd and Anthony Mathenia from Virginia, and we were preaching the New England conference, and we're at breakfast, and this waitress comes up, and I just had a thought. The thought came to me, I'm going to find some way to say something for the Lord. So she starts talking to us and bringing us things, and she said, oh, I saw you in here yesterday, didn't I? I said, yeah. You know why we're here? Let me tell you why we're here. We're here in Portland, Maine, in a conference. You know what we're doing? We're telling people about the love of God in Jesus Christ, that He's the Savior of the world, and He loves to save sinners. Okay. See, I just planted a seed. But you got to have zeal to do that. You got to seize the moment. Many opportunities we miss right in front of us because we don't have zeal in the heart to courageously speak for Christ. Zeal is men risking their lives in service to advance the gospel. Acts chapter 16. It is a church continuing steadfastly through anything in preaching and serving and loving one another and kingdom living no matter what comes. Zeal is Paul in Corinth, keeping on in spite of fear on Mars Hill, declaring Christ and the resurrection to all the college professors of Athens. Well, you get my drift. We see this in the Apostle Paul's life all the time. Romans 9, he says, I have great continual sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart for the salvation of my people, the Jews. Chapter 10, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. It's him before King Agrippa and Festus, courageously declaring a full and true gospel. Paul, if he was anything, was fervent and uncompromising. Even so much so that when he's preaching there to those men, Festus interrupts him and says, Paul, much learning has made you mad. Not angry, but crazy. Much learning has made you crazy. And it hadn't. Much zeal was making Paul, though he was. True zeal is Christ purifying for himself a people for his own possession who become zealous of good works. Zeal is the body of Christ and its members continually, seriously striving to honor Christ, to take the gospel anywhere and everywhere possible, to advance the kingdom sacrificially. Zeal is real and passionate desire to know and please Jesus Christ, to seek the things that are above. It's Hebrews 11 zeal. Read that chapter again soon and see between the lines the zeal that drove them. You know, Luther was going to the Catholic Inquisition at Worms, the city of Worms. The Inquisition, the Catholic big dogs, and he's going to stand before them, before all the Catholic bishops in Germany. Think that'd be a little intimidating? He woke up that morning. We don't know how he prepared. We don't know what he prayed. But we do know one thing he said there before all of them. Quote, though there is a devil under every tile on every rooftop in Worms, in the name of the Lord, I will go forward. Bring it on, boys. Zeal is love aflame. Courage acting when criticism, opposition, slander, and persecution hinder you. It's passion and action. Some of you young people that are Christians, if you're going back into public school or a Christian school, you got to play the man. You got to have the courage to walk alone, to stand alone, to have zeal in your heart motivate you to be yourself and not go with the flow of carnal Christianity in Christian schools or the way of the world in public schools. But you can stand. Ask the Lord for zeal in your heart as a believer. Zeal is passion and action. Our friend recently was kicked out of China, arrested, banned permanently after 20 years of labor in the underground church. And he said recently, he can't ever go back. He said recently, I don't care about a stable place in this life. This guy was an All-American wide receiver at LSU, was wide receiver with Lynn Dawson, Kansas City Chiefs, and Archie Manning. Some of you don't know who Archie Manning was, New Orleans Saints. Called to the ministry, labored as a pastor, has been in the interior of China 20 years. He said this recently, I don't care about a stable place in this life. I only want to live out my final days on the ragged edge of eternity. That's zeal. And ultimately, our Lord Jesus Christ is the example in true zeal. A man of true zeal. Psalm 69. It is for your sake that I have borne reproach, that dishonor has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons. For zeal for your house has consumed me. Isaiah 59. He wrapped himself in zeal as with a coat. Psalm 119. My zeal consumes me. The Lord Jesus started his ministry cleansing the temple. He ends his ministry cleansing the temple publicly. That was his last public act of ministry. Zeal were the bookends on his earthly life. Zeal for the Father's glory. Zeal for the Father's house. And he said, zeal is consuming me. Meaning, zeal was wearing out our Lord's life humanly on earth. It was draining him. It was wasting his earthly strength away. In Mark 3, he healed many, all the sick who came to him, and they said, he's out of his mind. He was drained. His family said, he's out of his mind. That was a typical day in the life of Jesus, to pour himself out, to give all he had to give that day. When he would lay down, he was exhausted. And day by day, he became renewed. His zeal was replenished. He ran out of some as a man. He needed renewal. Jesus said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. I came to cast fire upon earth. I wish it were already done. How great is my anguish and distress until it's accomplished. Zeal drove our Lord on to accomplish the work of redemption until he could say, it is finished. And he said it in weakness. Zeal drove our Lord to leave heaven on the mercy mission to ransom rebels. It drove him to endure the anger and hate of this world. It drove him to face rejection joyfully because of the joy that was set before him. It drove him to be willing to be denied by close friends and betrayed. It led him to set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem, to give himself to the agony of Gethsemane, the torture of Calvary, and dying alone, abandoned and judged. Zeal for the divine purpose consumed him. There was none more loving, tender, caring, compassionate, courageous, and zealous than our Savior. He's our example in zeal. Being Christ-like means being a zealous disciple. Let me close by applying this. Zeal will make mistakes. Zeal will need to be matured. Zeal will need directing, guidance. But don't quench it. Don't quench it in your own life out of fear. Don't quench it, men, in your wife. If God has put zeal in her heart. Ladies, don't quench zeal in your husband because it'll embarrass you. Parents, don't quench true spiritual zeal, even if it's a little bubble. Don't quench it in your children. Let them become who God wants them to make them as a zealous believer. Encourage it all the more. Zeal will offend lost people who hate true Christianity and hate change. But in the long haul, it does much more harm than a cold heart. Don't quench it. So, here's my encouragement in closing this morning. Stir up your zeal more in all areas. Be more zealous in your Bible reading. Be more courageous to speak to someone and plant a seed in a moment when you can. Be more zealous, men, in your love for your wife. More proactive. Young people, be more zealous about being a real Christian. And don't fear the reproach. It doesn't matter if other kids laugh at you. In your heart, in their heart, some of them may be admiring you, but it doesn't matter what they think. Be more zealous. You think of perishing souls. You think of the shortness of time. You think of the devil and his zeal. You think of the zeal of the servants of the devil in this world. This world is zealous about everything. And we ought, and it says, the children of this world are what? More than us in this area sometimes. More wise, more discerning. We need to be more zealous. So, stir up the gift of God. Don't be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit as you serve the Lord. And as that line in that hymn says, in that hymn, O Church, Arise. O Spirit, come. Give strength for every stride. Give grace for every hurdle. Do you need more zeal as a believer? Let's go to the Lord right now in prayer and let's ask Him. Join me. Our Father, You know our hearts. You know right where we are. You know our need. You know our neediness, our lack. You know what grace and work within us is needed to take us from where we are to where we need to be in this area, this grace of true zeal. So work in us, we pray. Work in us to do, to will and to do of Your good pleasure. Give us more of Your Holy Spirit and work this reality, this comprehensive influence, this leaven of Spirit-given zeal. Lord, saturate us in it more. That, Lord, we might be true, zealous Christians in all that it truly means for the glory of Christ and for the good of Your church and for the advance of the kingdom. Help us, Lord. We ask You for that this morning. Do this for us and in us. For Jesus' sake. Amen.